Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Right now on VFN TV, we have Ron Latini, the author of the book, Pensacola's West Side Story, A Call to the Church to Unite Around the Gospel. Let me tell you a little bit about him first. Reverend Ron Latini, he's 67 years old today, and during this time we're having this interview. He's married to Marilyn Cobolo Latini. They have two grown children, Christopher and Ashley. Both of them are married. His education, he has a bachelor's of science degree in, from Palm Beach Atlantic College, 1977, master's of divinity degree from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Louisville, Kentucky, 1981. Some of his experience was in 1981, he was ordained in Shively Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. From 1981 to 1987, he pastored First Baptist Church in Key Largo, Florida. Wish I was there. 1984 to 1988, he was a chaplain in the Army Reserves, first lieutenant. In 1987 to 1997, he pastored First Baptist Church of Lake Park, Florida. He served on a missions committee, evangelism committee as a volunteer position for Palm Lake Baptist Association. 1997 to 2019, he pastored Myrtle Grove Baptist Church, which one time I was a member of historically, in Pensacola, Florida. His membership increased to over 3,000 resident members. Myrtle Grove Baptist Church, some of the highlights while he was there, he was part of the Florida Baptist Convention meeting of 2003, where his leadership for the faith strategy in the church was celebrated in the state of Florida. Some of the ministries he established when he was there, the Hispanic ministry, preschool, the Most Excellent Way, the addiction ministry that he established there, Christian Social Ministries. And in June 2019, he stepped down and retired as the pastoral ministry. And the same month, 2019, he was commissioned in Latini Outreach Ministries, and he has a ministry, Unified in Christ. Well, welcome, Ron Latini. So good to have you here, man.
Me too.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this. So this book, you know, you wrote a book, and I got a chance to look at it before it's even gone out there, and it's being published, it's being prepared now by Lifeway, correct?
Yeah.
And so, but the book is entitled, your book is Pensacola's West Side Story, A Call to the Church to Unite Around the Gospel, right? And that's what we're here to talk about. But I want to talk about first, our first encounter. That, you know, when you first contacted me, I mean, actually, when you first came to Pensacola, when you first, your first day at pastor of Myrtle Grove Baptist Church, we were involved in this unified movement called Next Step Outback, right. And we were gathering all the leaders and businesses and all the stuff like that to have an encounter with Malachi Mandate, we called it. And as a matter of fact, that's some of the people in the community right there. And we were speaking that morning at the breakfast, and that was the day you were launching there. Who would have known all these years later? Now you're in the unity movement, right. You know, and what God is actually doing. It's exciting to be able to see that. For 10 years, we walked that out, you know, and it was every mountain. That's where VFN Kingdom Business came from, because we had each of the seven mountains of culture. We didn't define it as that. We're just watching government, business, church, and all that work together to make a major move. But I want you to take a look at this, those that are watching and listening, because what we're going to see today is how Ron Latini is now carrying the torch for the next phase of unity in the community. Take a look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
It's all about you. Whoa. It's not about me. Whenever
welcome to Pensacola! Next step! Fathers and sons, can we get
you?
repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
Not being the father.
That you need in your life.
Tears. But that was nice because they told me they loved me and God had something special for me and that something good was going to happen to me in my life. Well, I'd have to say that what's been the best part of this camping trip is having the time to spend with fathers and mentors and for children to really get close to their male family side. And it's very hard because fathers are really busy trying to work, and I think this was a great thing for Pensacola. It makes me feel really loved.
Today's sons are tomorrow's men. To be able to have healthy men, healthy fathers, and healthy husbands, which we are seeking, you first have to have healthy sons.
That there's nothing more important than your family. Your time is nothing. Your family's time is everything. And that's what it's all about.
I have never in my life experienced anything like this. No greater moment than seeing my children born have I ever had in my life such as this one. And I'm going to make it my every business to be back here again. I love you, Pastor Greg, and I uphold your vision.
What happened here tonight, I think it was a transformation. It was awesome. I've never seen so much love and outbreaking of kindness and emotion. And I've been to several revivals and events, but nothing like this. Oh, man, this is something I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life, and I know my son will too, and I'll... Biggest thing of all, I know that this has made us closer than we've ever been in our life. And for that, I'm very grateful that I came.
It was excellent. Everybody lined up together, and I mean, everybody was spending time the way it should be around the whole United States, but it's not. If people could get half the experience that I got here, the world probably would be a better place.
I really think that we should need an event like this because it really gives the sons the time to bond with the fathers. It makes me feel awesome. It makes me feel like I have a great value on me, and I enjoy it.
Can't lose by attending something like this. So can't lose. It's a win-win situation. Like I said before, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity because if you don't come, then you've missed out on something great.
It makes you kind of think if you don't have a dad, kind of makes you think about what if you did have a dad.
Well, I just want to say, you know, this has been a wonderful weekend out here for the children and also for the mentors and the fathers too. But I can truly say this has been one experience weekend for these children. You know, and I strongly suggest that those who see this video, please make it your business to participate in this program. And I guarantee you, you won't regret it.
Powerful. You know, think about it. For 10 years, we carried that passion, that desire, you know, to see unity take place. And I couldn't be more excited to see what God is doing in your life, in your ministry now, Ron Latini, as you're actually launched out. And I saw, you know, you and Dr. James Miller step out and take this torch for unity. You know, because we saw it kind of just tamper down, kind of got the candle kind of go out like that. We're like, is what's going to happen with it? But just to see what's happening in your life and see how you just said yes to God, you know, we'll talk more about that. But to us, it's like, it's very exciting because we know God shows up when we come together in unity. We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini, but be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts about unifying, coming together, everything that we're sharing. Also, don't forget to go to the VFNKB community and join a community that's making a difference.
We'll be right back.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
Whoever owns the narrative owns the culture, and whoever owns the culture empowers the ideology.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So it's just powerful. That's what we were there doing when you first came to Pensacola and you were speaking. It was your first day at Myrtle Grove Baptist Church.
1997.
We were about to speak on this, and it's like, how God brought this whole thing together. It's like, wow, only God could do that, right?
Amen.
Only God can do that. Well, so I want to say this, you know, how we got connected later on is that, you called me up and you asked me to help and participate, and we get a lot of phone calls, and most of them we just can't do everything. And I said, I would pray about it in a minute. You know, a lot of times we say, we'll pray about it. But God spoke to me after you called and showed me very specifically that you are a praying man, and that when you pray, God shows up. And as you pray and as you speak to each of these groups and you're praying, God will start calling certain people, and not everybody, but certain people throughout that entire group, these unity groups, who will have that same passion on their life. And once God said that, I'm like, I'm in. So here we are today, after the Lord has spoke and you obeyed the Lord, and just, it was a powerful, powerful thing. I'm just honored to be here. And my answer, of course, is yes. So I want to talk to you, first of all, about that, about being a praying man, because prayer is actually having a conversation with God. Mm. And a lot of times people just get an idea, think this is good, and they just start something. Mm. But that's not what you did. Talk to us about writing those pastors out there, as statistically, that don't even pray anymore, unless they're behind the pulpit, or a lot of the Christian church. They'll think, is it just vanity? Is God hearing me? Does it make a difference? Does prayer make a difference? Talk to us a little bit about that, because I believe the Lord's, shared with me that, prayer is talking to God is how you got here. It's how we got here.
Absolutely.
But talk to the person that's watching, that pastor that's listening, that may have given up on prayer, right, and been trying to do it in their own strength. Share with us about what does it mean to be a praying man?
First of all, Greg, thank you for allowing me to be here and for allowing the Unity pastors to have an opportunity to get the message out of what God's doing here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. Prayer has always been important ever since I was born again in 1974 in Key West, Florida. Talking to God has been the mainstay. But after many, many years in the pastorate, in fact, after about 17 years at Myrtle Grove, you have those dry moments.
Right.
you hit a valley or a bump or...
Describe a dry moment, because people are going through that right now.
I think after, you know, you're in and out of routine.
Right.
The routine of ministry, speaking of the pastorate.
Right.
If you're not careful, you can end up, you know, losing focus.
Yes.
And putting your eyes on problems and situations rather than keeping your focus on the Lord. I hit one of those moments. It was, I think it would have been 2013.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013. And I came across a book by Mark Batterson entitled The Circle Maker.
Yeah.
A book on prayer, how God used one man mm-hmm. And his wife and family to literally start a chain of churches in Washington, D.C. on right. Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept was, he took the walls of Jericho concept mm-hmm. of Israel marching around the walls, being instructed by God to circle the
right.
walls
right, right.
until that barrier, that problem,
right.
would come tumbling down.
Wow. Powerful.
So I remember I was on my back porch, my prayer spot, there mm-hmm. at my home in Lillian, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally took that concept and I put myself in an imaginary circle mm-hmm. on the back porch. And I stood there in the middle and I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, do something fresh in my life. I can't go on pastoring, because I'd been at that church again like 17 years.
Right, right.
And you have to have a fresh vision to keep right. going when yes. you're in, especially in the pastorate, leading right. a body. You can't rely on yesterday's right. infilling or empowerment to right. sustain you for today.
Right.
You know, what's past is past. There has to be fresh oil,
yes.
fresh oil in the lamp.
Yes.
So I stood in the middle of that circle. I said, do something God-sized, so unusual in my life, Lord, that when it's all said and done and everybody looks at it,
mm-hmm.
they'll be able to say that can only have been an act of God
awesome.
That brought that about. So
yeah.
just a short time after I prayed that prayer,
right.
I get a phone call from the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm.
The Vice President of Public Relations invited me mm-hmm. to join the newly elected president of the convention,
mm-hmm.
the first black president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Fred Luter from Yawlins.
Yeah, New Orleans, yes.
And I was there at that convention. Mm-hmm. I did the opening prayer before the vote in the afternoon at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Right.
I was on the program. And I thought back then, which was months before, man, I'd sure like to get to know that guy.
Right.
Here I'm getting a call after I prayed
right.
in that circle for God to do something. And how does it go? Mark says in the book that when you start praying like that, God will do things in your life
right.
that can only, you'll go to places you have no business going,
mm-hmm.
meet people you have no business of meeting, and it's all orchestrated by the Lord. And that's exactly what
wow.
happened. I
powerful.
Ended up on this airplane
mm-hmm.
in this racially, culturally mixed team representing,
right.
by all groups, the Southern Baptist Convention,
right.
going to Ethiopia and Uganda. And I was the white guy on the team.
Right.
I was the white guy.
Yeah, Italian,
Korean,
yeah.
Chinese, Hispanic, mm-hmm. black.
Mm-hmm.
And I represented the Caucasian guy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what a life-changing experience. But I didn't know then
right.
that was part of a long plan,
right.
orchestrated plan that God had,
right.
linking me up with Fred.
Right.
We'll be right back.
If I interpret accurately the sentiment today among many dedicated parents, they are sick of the filthiness of the popular culture, and most of them resent the effect it's having on the young. What's occurring now in television sitcoms, in rap and R&B lyrics, and in many movies is outrageous. To bring innocent children into the world, fresh from the hand of the Creator, and then to corrupt their young minds and mouths so thoroughly within a single decade is unconscionable. Having taught and counseled public school children in the 60s, when a student could get suspended or sent home for spewing dirty words or making sexual gestures, it is deeply disturbing to me to walk on a campus today and hear kids, not just the troublemakers, but the majority of students, cursing like sailors. We as adults ought to be ashamed of ourselves for letting it happen. We seem not to even hear the references to gross sexuality and bodily functions that used to shock our parents. We have acquiesced to things that embarrassed us in front of our kids because it was too much trouble to explain why we choose to live decent and wholesome lives in our families. We can do better without being prudes or fuddy-duddies. It's called good parental guidance, and it's the least we can do for our kids.
Uh-huh. In the hours before the Allied invasion of Normandy on June 6, 1944, D-Day, troops were preparing to land on a 50-mile stretch of French coastline.
2 days before, Chaplain George Russell Barber conducted church services on 11 different ships, distributing thousands of small service testaments provided by the Gideons International. Barber quoted the 23rd Psalm, attempting to comfort the anxious troops.
And on D-Day, Lieutenant Colonel Barber led his men onto Omaha Beach under intense enemy fire. Hundreds of soldiers were killed, and in the water, a scene Barber never forgot, small Bibles floating everywhere. As men in the water died in his arms, Barber quoted Jesus' words from John 14, 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So then, you know, when you pray, you can't answer your own prayer. You have to be open for what God's going to say.
Whatever it is. Like when that phone call came, this
right.
must be the Lord.
Yeah.
This is it. I have no business being on
right.
the plane.
Right. And so that's yeah. a big deal. So, you know, a teenager yeah. would say, Dad, can I borrow the car? But he doesn't wait for the answer and just takes the keys. His desire was to drive that car.
Right.
It wasn't to hear what the father had to say about the car.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so prayer is like, yeah. okay, get ready. He may say, start yeah. television network.
right.
You never know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And so that's awesome. So I encourage everybody right now that's watching and that's listening that, you know, that you got to be open. Your heart's got to be open, like Ron Latini's talking about. And
hey,
God,
one more
yeah,
thing,
ahead,
that was
yeah,
the fasting aspect,
okay.
which I failed to mention. Yeah, fasting has always been important through my pastor.
Describe what fasting is, or this might not know it.
When we would run into a problem at the church here in Pensacola.
A problem meaning like people had different points of view?
Yeah,
about
points of view, you know, people coming at, you know, like a division within
right.
body, potential division. I would call the church to 40 days of fasting and prayer.
That's all they
that initiated.
Whatever, let them have it.
What was it, the member of the Rick Warren, the 40 Days
yes.
of Purpose.
Yeah, 40 Days of Purpose.
We did that citywide campaign.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was all about, you know, taking 40 days mm-hmm. biblically mm-hmm. And fasting and praying. Well, what I did with that at that juncture, when I put myself in that prayer circle, mm-hmm. is I committed to fast a day a week. And that particular day, just, you know, from sundown to sundown,
right,
a one day fast
mm-hmm.
weekly, and I call my church to do the same thing,
right.
And every time we would stop to do something like that,
right.
When everything was said and done, it brought the church, at least in our case, 97% unity,
yeah.
in every one of those junctures. Never got 100,
right.
But 97, overwhelming majority. Right. Even at one time where it was a 50-50 divide
right.
over a building program issue. Prayer and fasting brought the body of Christ together. I know the power.
Yeah.
So at that
awesome.
Juncture in 2013, you know, it was a prayer and fasting along with, you know,
praying,
a brokenness, being open
yeah.
to seek God.
Right.
But the fasting, it clears the mind and clears your heart.
Kind of shuts down our flesh, so we're not having a carnal answer to
does.
Things. Somebody's like, oh, okay, God.
Yeah.
It's true. That's good. It's very good.
Fast
that's encouraging for pastors out there trying to work through a divide in their church.
Fast and pray.
Yeah, the 40 days don't do it. So we're going to go another 40. It's like, whoa, we'll give in. No mess with you. That's, and Isaiah 58 talks about what a true fast is and how,
yeah.
how to walk in this, really how we treat each other and be respectful and loving God and all. That's pretty powerful. And we have, of course, we have a lot of people out there want to be able to have that kind of relationship with God. And we have what's they need a simple plan to do it. And we have a plan for you right now. If that's you, you can go to iabide.org and it's learning how to abide with God. It'll come right to you in your email. We have people from all the nations of the world right now that have signed up and got their abiding plan. And it's simple, but yet you're beginning a process of dialoguing with God, talking with God, and what Ron is saying is very powerful. Well, I want to talk about your book. You know, obviously prayer came before the book, but in your book, it talks about your life a little bit. You wrote about your life a little bit. And you're talking about, you know, for such a time as this. And I want to talk a bit about, you know, young Ron. Not young Ron like you are now, but when
right.
you were a young boy and you were growing up. Speak about to us a little bit about what it was like growing up. I mean, you had a father, but his father wasn't present in your life. Your father wasn't present in your life. And there's so many people, sometimes I don't know if it's better to just not have a father at all there than to have somebody that's there but not there. Does that make sense? Because then you can at least have a fantasy of what it could be like. But you had, what's it like in your life having a father that really wasn't present in your life, just from that aspect? We're going to go deeper in that, but just talk a little bit, because there's so many people right now.
Oh, sure.
In that situation.
Back then, I wouldn't have understood. I didn't have the understanding that I do, obviously, now.
Right.
And I realize in retrospect, he was doing the best he could. He was a World War II vet. Mm-hmm. Now, my background is Sicilian-Italian. So all my grandparents, both on my mother's side and my dad's side, came from Sicily at the turn of the last century. And so my dad and mom would have been second generation born here in America. So they spoke the language, you know, just like the Cubans that came over, you know, their children. And so we were culturally Sicilian-Italian and a Roman Catholic parentage. Mm-hmm. My dad, you know, attended infrequently with my mom. My mom was more committed. But my father was raised with no mother. His mother died when he was just a young child. And raised during the Depression years. I had to live on the streets, go to work when he was 12 years old. So, you know, he had a hard life and didn't know how to parent because his father was a very mean man and really treated him bad. So my dad didn't have the ability and the tools, didn't know how to be a good father. He thought, if I can make my life better, my children's lives better financially and give them things I didn't have, that's what a good dad would do. And that's what he did. And we were fine in the 1950s. My dad had a restaurant and a bar. They operated. And we were okay there financially. 60s came, his health got bad. And the restaurant that he had there was a pancake house, believe it or not. Italians running a pancake house. But the business went bad. He broke partnership with my my uncles. And his health got bad. And so he wasn't around a lot. And even when he was, he really didn't know the counsel to give, what to say. And of course, as a result in the 1960s, you know, I was part of the, I was affected by the youth counterculture revolution of the 60s.
It was crazy in the 60s.
Which was a turbulent, you know, era where America was changing dramatically.
We're going to continue with this interview on VFN TV. Catch us tomorrow, but remember how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget to join the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.